Senate will please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munsenderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters. President Courtney.
He's here. Judy, we need to talk about this thing for my staff. Like, do I come in tomorrow night or come in tonight? Quorum is present. We're going to post the colors. And Senator Rod Monroe will lead us in the pledge, please. Today's invocation is by Pastor Gail Hennessy from the Gales Creek Community Church in Portland.
My prayer this morning is one from one of the most beloved chaplains of the United States Senate. And he presented this prayer the first week of June in 1947. We pray, O God, that thou wilt fill this sacred minute with meaning and make it an oasis for the refreshment of our souls, a window cleansing for our vision, and a recharging of the batteries of our spirits. Let us have less talking and more thinking, less work and more worship, less pressure and more prayer. For if we are too busy to pray, we are far busier than we have any right to be. Speak to us, O Lord, and make us listen to thy broadcasting station that never goes off the air, through thy Holy Spirit, who is waiting to lead us into all truth. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Gail Hennessy for coming here today and giving an invocation. Honor and privilege, we'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Oregon State Senate to Pastor Gail Hennessy. Courtesies of the Senate, recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pastor Gail Hennessy has been a friend of mine for many, many years since I was a very young man. He had the distinction of working on my campaign, my first successful campaign for the legislature in 1976 when he did photography work. He's an outstanding photographer. And also did the silk screen for my first lawn signs. So please welcome Pastor Hennessy, my longtime friend, to the Senate today.
Thank you. Further courtesies? Remonstrances? Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, despite worries about the billion-dollar budget shortfall, a Senate committee yesterday moved a bill out to help movie companies get bigger tax breaks for filming in Oregon. If approved, that tax break would go from $5 to $7.5 million. The increase was approved by a Senate Finance Committee yesterday. A couple of our members expressed their opinion about it yesterday. I just want to point out that we're offering these tax breaks to folks in the film production industry at the same time that we are taxing the unemployment benefits of 255,000 unemployed Oregonians. And it seems just a little bit ridiculous that we're offering these incentives for folks to come to Oregon that would probably come to Oregon anyway. And if that's not the case, then what we are is in a bidding war with other states in the region to try to incent Hollywood to come to Oregon to film, as opposed to going to Canada or to Washington State or Idaho or staying in California. It just seems to me to be a little bit over the top that Oregon continues to tax out-of-work Oregonians on their unemployment benefits at Oregon's highest tax rate. At the same time, we're increasing the benefits for the folks in Hollywood to come to Oregon. Mr. President, this is a symptom of what is wrong with our priorities in the state of Oregon, that we'd offer a tax break to these folks, call it job creation, and then tax the heck out of people's unemployment benefits. Misplaced priorities, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Larry George, please.
Mr. President, thank you very much. On your desk today, colleagues, is a memo from my office that deals with Senate Bill 476, which has been stuck in the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. This is a bill that would redirect nearly $100 million to our K-12 public education facilities in the state of Oregon. When the co-chair's budget came out and it proposes a reduction in spending, I look at Senate Bill 476 and wonder how it's possible that we could allow a program that in essence funds corporate welfare and funds out-of-state consultants while our schools go without storm windows, without insulation, and without proper HVAC. Senate Bill 476 is stuck in the committee, and I've given you a memo of exactly what goes on with this. This is a 3% public purpose charge that passed in 1999 that was supposed to be just $30 million. That fund, beyond our view, has exploded, and you'll see on page 3 of my handout, has exploded to what's going to be nearly $175 million this next biennium. $146 million of these dollars flow into the Energy Trust of Oregon, that is a nonprofit that divvies these dollars out to these out-of-state consultants and big corporations. Senate Bill 476 would take that money and redirect it to our K-12 public education facilities so they can install green energy conservation efforts in their schools. I cannot believe that in this environment of cutting schools, we would watch a program like this continue without passing Senate Bill 476. And, Mr. President, I would urge that somehow leadership deal with this inequity and get 476 to the floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further remonstrances? Well, all right. For what it's now worth, on your desk is an iris. This continues a tradition I started in the House. The Shriners Iris Gardens, which are immediately north of Salem. You can see their fields on both sides of I-5 in bloom. It's been a tradition that a single iris is placed on the desk of each state senator, and the name of the iris is also there to, in some way, define the state senator. If you do not understand the name, do not come see me. Go see my office. A lot of time and effort went into the selection of the name for each state senator and the iris for each state senator. The name iris comes from the Greek word rainbow. Irises are from the Shriners Iris Gardens, as I said, immediately north of Kaiser. For 84 years, the Shriners Iris Garden has existed. They're the world's largest hybridizers of irises. They have won the Dykes Memorial Award, which is the highest award, international award, for the iris of the year 11 different times. So again, I want to thank my staff who works very hard on this each session to get the irises from the fields, to bring them here, and attempt to line up an iris name with each one of you as well as an iris placed on your desk. For the further remonstrances, recognize Senator Fred Gerard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank you for the iris. It's really, really pretty. But I also want to thank you for all the work that you put in to get the right iris to the right person. And I particularly like the fact that the majority leader got supreme sultan. I found that very, very humorous. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remonstrances? Message in the House.
Mr. President, speaking from the House, passed House Bill 2084, Senate Bills 102, 103, 121, 123, 129, 187, 195, 227, adopted SJR 16, best following Senate Bills amended by the House, Senate Bill 952, 124, Senate amendments and repassed House Bills 2093, 2041, 2498, 2671, 2707, 2809, 3103, 3117. Speaker has signed Senate Bills 83, 87, 117, 140, 204, 206, 217, 214, 225, 239, 240, 262, 330, 398, 438, 479, 595, 802, 937, and SCR 5.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. Reports from the SR 8.551 committee report summary number 110, which is distributed to members today. This information recorded in the Journal of State's report is so ordered. Reports from special committees. Proposition motions. Recognize Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 476 be withdrawn from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources.
Senator George has moved that the Senate Bill 476 be withdrawn from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. To your motion, explain, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. On your desk, I explained the merits of the bill, so I don't need to do that. The fact is, I'll stick to the merits of this motion. The fact is that we need to debate whether we should be prioritizing schools over corporate subsidies, and pulling 476 to the floor would allow us to do that. Pulling this bill to the floor and approving this motion would allow us to have this open discussion about how important our schools actually are to us and whether or not we should put in these important resources into the infrastructure of schools. This motion would give us a chance to redirect $100 million from corporate subsidies and out-of-state consultants to pay for energy upgrades and renewable in our schools. And I can't believe that we wouldn't pull this bill from committee to the floor and vote on it immediately. This motion would allow us to address the question of spending priorities. Do we want to support corporate welfare or do we want to support our schools? That's what this motion is about. 476 is a vital bill that should be discussed on this floor and should be passed by this floor, and I think that there's a majority of people on this floor that would support it. This motion gives us a chance to discuss reining in government growth and invest to our schools. I think it's important that we have a discussion about 476, and I urge a yes on the motion to pull this bill to the floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Debatable. Motion is debatable. Confined only to the motion to withdraw, not the merits of the bill. Recognize Senator Dave Nelson. Only to the motion to withdraw.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. I would be standing in support of the motion to withdraw. I have 28 cities, 23 school districts, 4 counties. 1 in 4 jobs out in my part of the country is somehow related to government. I think this is a great discussion. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator Gerard, do you wish to close on your motion?
All
upset. Just a minute, please. I want to ask. I did not recognize you, Senator Everett. Senator Gerard, do you wish to? Senator George, do you wish to close?
Mr. President, yes, real quickly. Again, if anybody has any questions about the merits of the bill, it's in the memo that I gave and talked about during remonstrances, and it would show the importance of this particular motion to the floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Devlin. Senator Devlin has demanded a call of the Senate. He's joined by Senator Larry George and Senator Dianne Rosenbaum. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. Sergeant Arms will attend. The clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Pass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney, all present.
All those subject to call are now present. Those of the opinion that Senate Bill 476 should be drawn from the Committee on Energy and Environment, Natural Resources will answer. Aye, the names call. All those opposed, Clerk, please call the roll.
Devlin. Dingfeather. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. President Courtney.
No.
Excuse, Atkinson, Carter, voting no, Bates, Bonamici, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Hass, Johnson, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Berger, Walker, President Courtney, 11 ayes.
The motion has failed. Recognize Senator Metzger. Let's strike that. Recognize Senator Devlin. We're under propositions and motions.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their caucus room.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Republicans request a 15-minute caucus.
The Senate will now go into recess. Until 10:50. The Senate is now in recess. Samuel, please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here. A quorum, Mr. President. Senator recessed under the order. Our proposition motion will resume under that order. So ordered. Recognize Senator. Proposition motion. Recognize Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I move the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 125.
The Messenger has moved the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 125. To your motion.
Yes, colleagues, this is the bill regarding the reimbursement for commercial driver training schools and traffic safety education. The House added an amendment to ensure that the Department of Human Services would be reimbursed for any funds that they provided in children that are under their jurisdiction. I urge an aye vote again.
Discussion recognized. Senator Verger, do you wish to speak on this measure?
No.
Does not. Mr. Now rises. Those in the opinion of the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 125. Will answer. Ayes and names called. Those opposed. No. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Atkinson. Carter. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 125 and Chief Constable George declared repassed. Senator Verger, for what purpose do you rise?
I ask permission to go back to courtesies, please, Mr. President.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Mr. President, it is a great pleasure that I welcome a friend of mine to the Capitol today. Susan Massey is here, who many of you know. She is also with her son-in-law and daughter, Raja and Brenda Langley, and their children, Noah, David, Anna, Mary, Andrew, and Micah. They are all from North Bend, and I ask that you extend courtesies to them. We're so happy to have them here today.
Thank you, Senator. To all of you, thank you for coming up from North Bend. It's a privilege to have you here. Hope you're having a great day in your state capitol. Hope you can stay and watch our session and come back and see us again. Thank you for coming. I'd like to extend the courtesies to each and every one of you. Thank you. We'll now return to regular order of Senate business, which is under propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Mark Haas.
Mr. President, I move the Senate concur in House amendments and repass Senate Bill 323.
Senator Haas has moved the House, the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 323. To your motion.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 323 is part of the legislature's efforts to reduce the Capitol's carbon footprint. It allows written reports that have to be submitted to the legislature to be posted electronically. The House amendments remove the requirement of providing five copies of these reports to the Senate President, Speaker, and Legislative Administration Committee, and clarifies that if a report is available on the Internet, the executive summary must provide its location. As legislators, we'll still receive executive summaries of all of these required reports. So overall, SB 323 will greatly reduce the flow of paper reports from agencies, and therefore I ask you to concur to the House amendments to Senate Bill 323.
Discussion? Those of you in the opinion that you concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 323 will say aye. As names called, those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick. Burdick.
Senator Burdick.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Atkinson. Carter. 20 ayes.
The Senate Bill 323 have received a constitutional majority is declared repassed. Recognize Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 689.
Senator Metzger has moved the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 689. Do you motion?
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this was the Billboard Sign Task Force, an unrelated issue directing the Department of Transportation to administer a program for the involvement of youth in the prevention and cleanup of litter and vandalism was added. That's fine with me. I urge an aye vote.
Discussion. Those of you in the opinion since you concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 689. We'll answer ayes and names called. Those opposed, no. The clerk, please call the roll.
George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Atkinson, Carter. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 689, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Clerk will read the committee report and the minority report on House Bill 2470.
Senate Committee Report. President Courtney, Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs, humans referred to House Bill 2470A. Having had similar consideration, respectfully reports back recommending due pass the Ingalls Bill. Senate Minority Report. President Courtney, a minority on Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs, humans referred to House Bill 2470A. Having had similar consideration, respectfully reports back recommending due pass amendments to Ingalls Bill, printed B. Ingalls Minority.
Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I move that the committee report on House Bill 2470 be adopted.
Senator Rosenbaum moves that the committee report on House Bill 2470 be adopted. Explain the committee report, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2470 from the Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. They're cute, they're cuddly, they're playful, and no one wants to think about where they come from. And that's what this bill is about. House Bill 2470 would cap the number of breeding dogs in mass breeding facilities at 50 and require basic humane care standards, including provisions that dogs be allowed out of their cages daily and be kept in clean, well-ventilated facilities. This bill will not affect responsible breeders. In the past 2 years, colleagues, six notorious puppy mills in Oregon were investigated and shut down by law enforcement authorities, the most recent one just last month. In all six cases, dozens or sometimes hundreds of dogs were discovered living in filthy, crowded, and inhumane conditions. Puppy mills are breeding facilities that mass produce puppies for sale in pet stores, over the internet, and directly to the public. Dogs are stacked in filthy wire cages or kennels, often with little veterinary care or human interaction. And they're not treated like pets, but like cash crops. Mother dogs are constantly bred and kept in continuous confinement. They are destroyed or discarded when they can no longer turn out puppies. In Oregon, we're more likely to find mini mills operating out of basements, sheds, or garages, as opposed to the larger scale operations with outdoor cages. Although smaller in scale, these mini mill conditions can be equally as cruel. Other states, including Louisiana, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, have passed laws to address these problems, and Washington's governor just signed a bill that imposes a 50 breeding dog cap, just like this bill. Oregon should move quickly and decisively to do the same. Thankfully, puppy mills have received increased media attention lately, exposing the reality of this shameful industry to a vast audience. The issue is gaining momentum, and it's time for our legislature to take action. Colleagues, I'd just briefly like to explain the four provisions of this bill. First, it restricts dog breeding operations to 50 sexually intact dogs over 2 years of age, kept primarily for the purpose of reproduction. By capping the size of these mass breeding operations, this legislation will enable humane investigators and law enforcement to more effectively and efficiently deal with complaints about dogs living in squalor and receiving inadequate care. This is why Oregon Animal Control Council, representing animal control officers and humane agents from throughout Oregon, has endorsed House Bill 2470 and spoke forcefully in favor of the bill. It's also why animal control officers and prosecutors have testified to the legislature that a cap is absolutely necessary to investigate these facilities and take necessary action to protect animals in facilities that do not comply. It establishes modest, common sense minimum care standards so that dogs are provided with a minimum amount of space and exercise. Simply put, colleagues, the bill requires that dogs be allowed to stand up, turn around, and lie down in their enclosure. It also requires that dogs be given at least 1 hour of exercise outside of their cages every day. So 1 hour means that for the other 23 hours a day, they are in these cages and that's their life. It requires pet breeders and dealers to provide consumers with information regarding a dog's place of origin, history, registration information, and any medical conditions or treatment. And finally, it provides buyers with specific legal rights if they purchase a puppy that has medical, congenital, or hereditary conditions at the time of sale. Breeding dogs in puppy mills are forced to live a life devoid of the things that dogs need: exercise, clean living space, medical care, and the love and attention of people. That's why a broad coalition of groups and individuals have spoken in favor of House Bill 2470, including the Oregon Humane Society, Oregon Animal Control Council, veterinarians, dog breeders, prosecutors, law enforcement officers, and individuals who live with dogs that originated at puppy mills. In discussion with breeders, it's become clear that few, if any, reputable breeders in Oregon keep more than 50 breeding dogs. This means that only puppy mill operators, the intended targets of this legislation, will be affected. And I just want to say one more thing about the importance of a cap, because it's much more complicated when you're dealing with 200 dogs rather than 50 to 75 dogs. A cap in the number of breeding dogs is essential to protecting the welfare of dogs, because in states that have minimum care standards but no cap, enforcement is virtually impossible. A cap is the critical enforcement mechanism to regulate puppy mills. Without it, it will be difficult, if not impossible, for law enforcement to have cause to investigate. So setting a cap will allow law enforcement to investigate the condition of these operations and take preventative action before they turn into criminal neglect, which end up taking vast amounts of resources to address. Essentially, better laws and capping the number of breeding dogs a person can have will prevent the kind of suffering and cruelty that we've seen in recent years. And the new law will allow someone to step in before this happens. We shouldn't have to wait, and neither should these dogs, until they are in such hideous condition to step in and help them. Colleagues, House Bill 2470A constitutes a modest, common-sense approach to providing a humane life for dogs in these operations. Again, responsible breeders will not be affected. Simply put, the provisions in House Bill 2470 will address overcrowding, understaffing, and inattention at large-scale breeding operations. Colleagues, I urge your support for House Bill 2470.
I recognize Senator Fred Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the minority report be substituted for the committee report on House Bill 2470.
Senator Gerard has moved that the minority report be substituted for the committee report on House Bill 247. Explain your motion, please.
Colleagues, I ask your support of the minority report for the simple reason that the minority report is a much better bill. There are three primary reasons that the minority report is better than the committee report. The first is that is under the minority report, much better care is demanded via the statutes. For example, in the committee report, page 3, line 4, requires by statute an enclosure has a solid floor. This is below the standard of the industry and will have the dogs laying in their own waste. Under the minority report, a porous, non-bending floor, which will allow urine to run off, can be used. The minority report demands better care for the animals than does the committee report. The second problem with the committee report is that it makes the assumption that the size of the operation determines the quality of care. This is a very bad assumption. Economies of scale often prove the opposite is true. Just think about this for a second. You can have a state-of-the-art facility for hundreds of dogs with lots of staff to give high rate of care, and you can have an owner with a single dog that is extremely abusive. Let's change from dogs to horses. Many of us watched the Kentucky Derby this session. Many of those facilities have hundreds of animals. Some, for example, have swimming pool training facilities as well as the latest in animal care. They may employ scores of staff to care for the facility and have a veterinarian on staff. The same holds true with dogs. The minority report removes the cap of 50 dogs, and it sets a minimum of staffing requirements. This, again, will allow for better care of dogs than the committee report. Finally, the committee report creates a problem with those who train dogs for the police, the hearing impaired, the blind, and for hunters. These facilities are not exempted out in the committee report, but are exempted out in the minority report. These facilities can run in hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the minority report will simply put most of them out of business. I ask you to put party lines aside and simply vote for the best of these bills. The committee report will put numerous breeders and trainers out of business, costing jobs. Dogs will suffer from the substandard care with the majority report. Please substitute the minority report for the majority report.
Recognize Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. In committee, there is no doubt that there was 100% agreement by every single person on the committee to make sure that we have humane treatment of animals in the state of Oregon. The difference is that the interest groups that came in to lobby on this bill have a battle that goes to the national level. It is a battle that's a national level that's been brought to the state while we're drafting up regulations of these types of facilities. The minority report was an effort by the good senator from Staten and myself to figure out how would be the best way to regulate these facilities with the highest care possible, with the maximum amount of flexibility for the business operation. And the fact is that the majority report really does have some things contained in it which are bad for the animals. And the biggest one is the issue of these solid floors. We had testimony presented in our committee that showed that the brand new technology used by the industry right now takes the feces and urine from animals and gets it away from the animal. That's the newest of technology. That's the safest for the animals. That's the best possible humane thing that we can do for the animals. The minority report creates a regulatory structure that makes sure that it's not special interest groups who are matching certain targets set by some national organization, but instead creates a regulatory process in Oregon that reflects our values of humane defense of animals in the state of Oregon. It's not the intent, the difference between the majority report and the minority report. The difference is that we have the opportunity to come up with good public policy with the minority report. I compliment the committee for addressing the issue, because clearly there are problems, but the minority report addresses those problems with the newest technology to actually care for the animals. And if you care about puppies, if you care about these animals, and if you want to have these facilities using the newest, most recent technology for animal care, you will pass the minority report, not the majority report, and I urge an aye vote for the minority report substitution for the committee report. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Suzanne Bottomacci.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I want to clarify and support the report, the committee report on House Bill 2470 and oppose the minority report, and particularly clarify the issue of the solid flooring. There was somebody who brought in some pictures of some open flooring that can be used to keep the dog's waste away from the dog. And, of course, that is something, Mr. President and colleagues, that can be used as long as there is something solid underneath it so it will not be going down onto other animals. There's no reason why that cannot be used as long as there's something underneath it, Mr. President. I wanted to clarify that. Thank you very much. I urge opposition to the minority report.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Ott, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to just quote what the majority report says, and it says that an enclosure, A, has to have a solid floor. There's no exceptions to that. It has to be solid. That was a complaint that was brought by the breeders, and that was not addressed in committee. So to follow up on what Senator George spoke, the best care for the animals is in the minority report. The best dealing with breeders, and so that they can go out and train dogs for the police, dogs for the hearing impaired, dogs for the blind, and hunting dogs is in the minority report. Please, let's not vote on party lines. This is the best bill. Support the minority report.
Senator Davenport has demanded a call of Senate, joined by Senator Rosenbaum and by Senator Montes Anderson. Doorkeepers will bar the doors, and Sergeant Arms will attend. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juan Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney, all present.
All those subject to the call are present. Question now arises upon the substitution of the minority report for the committee report. All those in favor of the substitution will answer aye as the name is called, and all those opposed will answer no. The clerk will please call the roll.
Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney.
No.
Excused, Atkinson, Carter, voting no, Bates, Bonamici, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Haas, Johnson, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Berger, Walker, President Courtney, 11 ayes.
The minority report has failed. Senator Terry LaFleur, purpose your eyes.
Vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please file your vote explanation.
Mr. President, I voted aye on the minority report because it's a much better bill than the main bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
In accordance with SR 8.602, the Senate will take action immediately on the third reading of House Bill 2470 as amended by the committee report. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2470, Million Dogs.
Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Once again, colleagues, House Bill 2470 is really a modest bill. In fact, I would have liked to see a bill that went much farther than this. This bill just says that there's a limit, a cap, on the number of dogs to 50 sexually active breeding dogs, and that's necessary to be able to enforce the other provisions in the bill. And further, it simply sets some modest common sense standards for the amount of space and exercise that these dogs will get. And that means 1 hour a day out of their cages, which means 23 hours a day in these cages. Much has been made of the solid floor provision. I think the chair of our committee addressed that, but it is important to stress that this is really an important protection for these dogs who are spending as much as 23 hours a day inside these kennels. And if there are slats or other ways for the dog's foot or toe to get caught or injured, that can also be a hazard to these dogs. Colleagues, these dogs are at our mercy. They have no voice to complain about these deplorable conditions. Please be their voice, end this cruelty, and vote yes on House Bill 2470.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Vicki Walker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, to the bill. Last interim, colleagues, I got this little file, and I throw things in there as we look at what we're going to draft for legislation next session. And last summer, I heard about yet another puppy mill that had been busted, and I was just outraged. So we sent in a draft to Legislative Council, found out my good friend, Representative Paul Holvey, was doing the same thing. So we teamed up on this bill because when I went home on my birthday on Friday, I read my newspaper about the puppy mill in Kennewick, called one of the largest. This newspaper report says 400 puppies. This one that followed up on the next day said there were 371. It doesn't matter. It was far too many dogs, and it was absolutely ridiculous. What this bill seeks to stop are these large-scale commercial dog breeding operations in our state, and we hope other states follow. Within the confines of puppy mills, horrific abuse and severe neglect often takes place, a sight that I'm sure would sicken many of us. We've all seen the headlines, and I doubt that even the most hard-edged person would be immune to the cruelty that has been uncovered. In March of this year, 150 dogs were rescued from a puppy mill in Burns, just across the mountain. And in most cases, these dogs are emaciated and suffering from untreated wounds and severe mange. I believe the argument in this chamber today is not going to be focused on the horrendous result of these puppy mills, because I don't think any of you think puppy mills are a good thing. I think what the argument today is how best to stop these facilities from proliferating. And that's what we spent almost the entire session doing. Setting a limit of 50 breeding dogs was found to be a necessary component to combat the proliferation of puppy mills. Originally, this bill had a 25-dog cap, and I was happy with that. But this bill had to go through a lot of iterations and work groups. Setting minimum standards alone will not shut down or deter this behavior, as evidenced by states like Missouri and Pennsylvania. Both states, lawmakers did nothing to limit the number of dogs, and they were completely overrun with puppy mills that they cannot adequately regulate. Research has shown that the number of dogs is one of the most important determining factors for how dogs are treated in such facilities. Small breeders, especially family or hobby breeders who keep a small number of dogs for breeding, will not be impacted. In addition, if a breeder is found with more than 50 dogs, the facility can simply spay or neuter enough of those sexually intact dogs to be in compliance. If you, in fact, operate a legitimate hobby breeding business, I see no good reason that one facility needs more than 50 intact dogs at a time. So let me just put it in perspective. The average female breeding dog can have at least 2 litters every year. And in many puppy mills, it's common for them to have more. Assuming 18 of those dogs are females, with an average litter size of just under 5 puppies, quite a conservative estimate, according to the AKC, you will be able to sell as many as nearly 180 puppies a year. With a cap of 50, you double that amount. You have 36 breeding dogs, 360 puppies a year. That's a dog a day, folks, almost a dog a day. That's plenty of dogs if you're in the business. We have in this bill minimum care standards, which all breeders will meet. We need this component to combat overcrowding, which can lead to sanitation problems, stress, and disease. That's why cage stacking is not allowed. It's a filthy practice. The solid floor is necessary. Veterinarians recommend it. Humane Society recommends it because small puppies get their feet and their nails caught, and also the feces in the urine falls through the slats. We have language in the bill that addresses pet stores. This was my piece. This is the piece that I asked Representative Holvey for, because if we can stop the demand, we can stop the cycle. We need more information for consumers. When they go to a puppy store in that mall and find out where that puppy came from, they can make some choices. This cruel cycle of events is exactly what we're trying to prevent. I'm just asking you to give a voice to the dogs who don't have a voice. And to quote the humorist, the famous humorist, Gary Larson, "I don't believe in the concept of hell, but if I did, I would think of it as filled with people who are cruel to animals." I urge your aye vote today. Thank you.
Thank you. I recognize Senator Fred Drawn.
Thank you, Mr. President. The care of dogs and animals is a concern of mine. I love animals. I live out in the country. I have lots of critters, and There's nothing probably more important to my life than my animals. This bill, the way it is written, I can't support. It's just absolutely terrible. And much ado has been said about the standard of care. Let's go back and read what the statute says. It says that there has to have a solid floor without slats or gaps. Without. So that, I mean, you can't have a solid floor below and then chicken wiring up above. The dog's going to put its foot through it and it's going to injure the dog. The way this is written is not healthy for animals. Number two, again, the assumption that bigger operations somehow affect the quality of care. That is a very, very bad assumption. And this bill, once again, makes that assumption that the quality of care is determined by the size of operation. In my district, I have someone that spent nearly $1 million on a training facility that will not be allowed because of the size of the operation. They train dogs for the blind. They train dogs for the hearing impaired. They train field dogs for hunters. They can have up to 5 years with these dogs, and they oftentimes run large number of dogs. Think about it. How do they train a hunting dog lots of times? They run older dogs with younger dogs so the younger dogs can learn from the older dogs. They have operations oftentimes in the hundreds of dogs. These are quality operations. None of us want what the pictures in the papers show as puppy mills. Not a soul in this room. We can do better than this bill. This bill needs to go back to committee and needs to have the kinks worked out of it. And if we do that, we can come up with a bill that everyone will support. But the way that it is written right now, the quality of the care and the fact that you're going to put trainers out of business, it's going to cost in my district hundreds of jobs because we have a lot of dog training facilities. There is over 10,000 breeders in this state. This is going to cost jobs. And the pictures in the paper of those people with the, quote, puppy mills, those are hoarders. Those are mentally ill people that under current law, almost every one of those things are illegal. Under current law, this bill won't change any of that. Colleagues, I urge a no vote.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President, to the bill. Mr. President, I'm signing in support of House Bill 2470. I just want to point out for everyone, there's a number of editorials or writings from different papers around the state as to their assessment of what is going on in this state and why we, in fact, need to move forward and advance House Bill 2470. First, the credit to the committee that's done so much work in getting it together. There's never going to be a perfect bill. There's never going to be an opportunity to have everybody agreeing because the reality is too many people look for their own personal interests without looking at how it impacts the animals that they're supposedly taking care of. But when you look at the Medford Mail Tribune, the Register Guard from Eugene, the Albany Democrat Herald, the Oregonian, as well as the Statesman Journal, it's a pretty good cross-section of the state, and those individuals that author or opinion for those papers or have guest written have brought forward something that's very important for us to realize. This bill will, in fact, take care of those who are out of bounds. Just last week, if I'm not mistaken, it was another puppy mill up in the state of Washington, over 200 that were had to be rescued. I understand about 100 of those animals were brought into our state, so they could, in fact, be taken care of properly. If you remember earlier in the session, we had one out in eastern Oregon. I believe 140, 160 or thereabouts animals had to be rescued there. Enough is enough. That's why I'm standing in support of House Bill 2470. If and when we have an assessment on that, we need to make any modifications. We can do so after that. But now's the time to call it stop. No more puppy mills. This is a reasonable compromise that the committee has put together. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion. Recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think the supporters of this bill are well-intentioned, but this bill has so many fatal flaws, in my opinion, I don't know where to begin. As you know, I'm a veterinarian. I took an oath to protect and preserve the health of animals 40 years ago, and I've lived by that for my entire life. But the kennel restrictions here are too severe. If they applied to veterinary clinics, to dog kennels, to research facilities, even to the Humane Society that's supporting this bill, it would put them out of business. This bill prevents you from stacking kennels. I haven't seen a kennel, I don't remember the last time I've been in a dog kennel, where the dogs weren't stacked. It requires that the kennel be large enough that the dog be able to turn around without touching its tail in the kennel. Can you imagine the size of a kennel or the room it would take to house an Irish wolfhound under this bill? The bill has a 15-day full refund for a dog that is diseased. That provision is patently absurd. The incubation period for most infectious diseases of dogs is much less than 15 days. A dog can start showing symptoms of the parvovirus within 3 days, of distemper within a week, of lepto in less than a week, of kennel cough within 48 hours. So you sell a dog to somebody, they take it to the park, it rubs noses with another dog, it gets a kennel cough or whatever, and you take it back. The provision is obviously written in a manner with somebody that doesn't understand the diseases of dogs. It just doesn't make sense. The provision requires or allows the seller of the dog to take the animal to a veterinarian within 2 weeks before its sale to indicate that it is free of disease and genetic diseases. That has two problems. One of them has to do with the incubation period of the diseases again. And the other, for the veterinarian, how are you supposed to look at a puppy and decide in a cursory examination of a puppy whether this animal has a congenital heart problem, has hip dysplasia, has hypoplasia of the cortices of the kidney? You could go on for a week. There is no way that a veterinarian can do that. This bill will create open season on veterinarians for lawsuits because, after all, you said this puppy was healthy, and a year later he shows up with signs of hip dysplasia. Or one of the classics is the hypoplasia of the cortices of the kidney, where the dog, until they're about 6 months, 6 to 8 months of age, is perfectly normal. There are no symptoms whatsoever, until they suddenly crash with renal disease because their kidneys are no longer large enough to maintain the body mass. And so they die. Without doing a $1,000 workup on a puppy, and I just took that number off my head, it'd probably be more expensive than that. There's no way, absolutely no way, that you could say that these puppies are free of genetic or congenital diseases. None whatsoever. The bill is poorly written. It's ill-conceived. Portions of it are simply absurd. I urge a no vote.
Thank you. Is there further discussion of the measure on the floor? Senator Rosenbaum, do you wish to close?
Thank you. Just briefly, Mr. President, colleagues, I'd like to address a couple of the points that have been made in debate on the bill. In particular, I want to address the training issue. This bill does already, those types of facilities are exempt because if you look at the definitions in this bill, you have to have 50 sexually intact dogs for the purpose of breeding, and that unlikely would even apply to these training kennels that are being talked about. So I don't think that is a problem in this bill. The solid floor issue, I think we have debated thoroughly. And you simply can't have floors that have slats or other types of gaps in these floors without the dog being at risk of injury. If you have ever seen a dog that has spent its life in one of these facilities, as I have friends who have a rescue dog, came from such a facility, these dogs have never seen the outdoors. They don't know what it's like to be out of these kennels. Basically, that dog just stared out into space because that's all she had ever known was life in a cage. And even under this bill, these dogs are still going to be spending as much as 23 hours a day in these cages. You know, these animals are really dependent on you to make sure that they aren't treated this way. This bill is such a modest approach to this problem that I think whether you're a dog lover, as I am, or you're just somebody who cares about humane treatment, this is a bill that you can support. It won't affect those responsible breeders, which is most breeders, because they aren't doing the things that are prohibited in this bill now. So, colleagues, I urge you to stand up for these dogs, be their voice, vote yes on House Bill 2470, and, Mr. President, I respectfully ask for a call of the Senate.
Senator Rosenthal has demanded a call of the Senate. She's joined by Senator Dinkfelder and Senator Devlin. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, and Sergeant Arms will attend. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dinkfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Wise Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney, all present.
All those subjects to the call are present. Question now arises upon the third reading and final passage. House Bill 2470. Those who are of the opinion the bill shall pass say aye. Those opposed no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Wise Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Atkinson, Carter, Bodino, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Johnson, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Telfer, Whitsett. 18 ayes.
House Bill 2470, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Johnson, for what purpose do you rise?
Vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please give us your vote explanation.
All of us should abhor conditions that subject animals, any animals, to inhumane conditions. Eliminating substandard kennels is a worthwhile goal, but this bill stretches way beyond that goal and targets all breeders, good, bad, large, and small. It discourages those breeders who are providing the best care available and serving as the most dependable source of healthy pets in their communities. Oregon already has animal cruelty laws, making this bill unnecessary. Many of the facility engineering requirements, mandated cage and kennel size, would be extremely difficult to enforce. If the bill's main aim is to create minimum standards of animal care, why shouldn't it also apply to shelters, pet stores, and other facilities that house and place dogs with the public? Most breeders do what they do out of a genuine love of dogs and a desire to improve the breed, often going above and beyond the best care and treatment and carefully placing puppies in the right homes. Our goal should be to limit specific bad behavior, property destruction, neighborhood degradation, and abuse by focusing on actual nuisances and confirmed reports of negligence, abuse, and hoarding. Thank you, Mr. President.
Action executive orders requiring Senate confirmation. Extraction first read the Senate message.
Senate Committee Resolution 18, adjourning Sunday night regular session of the Senate Legislative Assembly. Senate Bill 978, ruling distributed payments of refund value of beverage containers to dealers.
Transmit to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate can hear Resolution 16, gradually important trailblazers and success of 2008-2009 season.
This is passed the calendar. We are now on the third reading of the Senate measures. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 507, Preferred Providers and Declaring Emergency.
Recognize Senator Laurie Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 507 is a physician credentialing bill. Before a physician can really get reimbursed, he must be credentialed by insurers. This bill comes from the Senate Committee on Health Care and Committee on Rules. We've heard numerous times about the complex and how time-consuming it takes a newly licensed physician or a new Oregon physician to see patients and be reimbursed for their services. The sometimes long credentialing process that health plans require providers to undergo only serves to exacerbate the access to care issues that we have in our state. This bill is a solution to this problem. It adds much-needed timelines to the health plan credentialing process. It would have 90 days. Insurers would have 90 days after receiving a complete application by a physician to make credentialing decisions. During the credentialing process, providers would now be able to see patients and be reimbursed at the non-participating provider rate at the very least. This bill retains quality of care measures by stating that insurers are not required to pay physicians during the credentialing process if they have been previously denied participation or terminated from a health plan panel. Senate Bill 507A also comes to you as a consensus bill. The bill has gone through numerous work group meetings with primary stakeholders, including the Oregon Medical Association, the Americans Health Insurance Plans, HealthNet, LifeWise, Kaiser Health Plans, ODS Health Plans, Pacific Source Health Plans, Providence Health Plans, Regents, and United Healthcare. After several work group meetings and the mediation efforts of the good senators from Ashland and Roseburg, we bring to you a consensus bill and ask for your support of Senate Bill 507. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Question on rights amount 30 and final passage of Senate Bill 507. Those opinion bills passed. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe.
Monroe.
Morissette. Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin,
Senator Devlin,
Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, President Courtney,
yes,
excused, Atkinson, Carter, 20 dies.
Senate Bill 507, absent the Council Majority Clerk passed. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 508, with health insurance.
Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 508 is an overpayment recovery bill. Senate Bill 508 adds structure and fairness to the overpayment recovery process. Currently, if an insurer mistakenly pays a claim or overpays a claim, they have an unlimited amount of time to seek a refund or offset the reimbursement on a future claim. Due to timely filing rules, providers do not have the same timelines, and it can sometimes be too late for a provider to resubmit claims to the appropriate insurer. Oftentimes, providers end up taking a loss on such claims. Senate Bill 508 would put in place timelines for physicians and insurers when seeking an overpayment refund from the other party. This bill sets a 24-month timeline for insurers and physicians to request a refund. The party requesting the refund must do so in writing and explain the reason for the request. There are exceptions in place where fraud is suspected, and once a request for a refund is made, the party has 30 days to contest the refund and 6 months to pay back the overpayment. Standardizing the timelines gives both the provider and insurer a level playing field in pursuing payments and keeping old records on file. This bill is modeled after a similar law in Washington State, which will provide some administrative simplification to the many insurers that do business in both Washington and Oregon. Once again, Senate Bill 508 comes to you as a consensus bill. The bill's gone through numerous work groups, meeting with primary stakeholders that I already mentioned on the last bill. So once again, I want to applaud the mediation efforts of the good senator from Ashland and Roseburg. Thank you, colleagues, and ask your support for Senate Bill 508A.
Discussion. Question on rise, round 3rd, reading the final passage of Senate Bill 508. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Atkinson. Carter. 28 ayes.
The Senate Bill 508, having since constant majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 2084, with the notice requirements for financing statements, filed with the Secretary of State.
Transmit to the President, desk referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Joint Rule 22, requesting passage of Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act. House Bill 2067, with sunset tax credits. House Bill 2107, relating public borrowing and coin emergency. House Bill 2188, relating mortgage transactions. House Bill 2478, relating bodily fluids. House Bill 2623, relating prison education programs. House Bill 2794, relating health benefit plan coverage of HPV. House Bill 3033, relating to election petitions. House Bill 3157, relating juvenile detention facilities. House Bill 3234, relating clinical laboratories. House Bill 3254, relating special districts and prescribing effective date. House Bill 3367, relating pictures and declaring emergency. House Bill 3451, and ballots.
These are passed the calendar. Third reading of House measures. Tomorrow we're going to come in at 9:45 in the morning, please. 9:45 tomorrow as opposed to 10:15. I'm trying to come in earlier to try to avoid night sessions as much as possible. So we're going to come in tomorrow morning at 9:45. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2817, relating to four-hour carries and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Larry George.
Colleagues, I've had the honor and privilege of serving on all three of the business committees this session, and one thing is very clear, is that all over in our state statutes, there are places where certain industries have gotten in barriers to entry to new competition. And what they do is they use the regulatory structure under the guise of protecting the consumers, not to protect the consumers, but instead to be predatory on any young startup company that wants to compete with them. House Bill 2817A addresses one of these and opens up for competition. House Bill 2817 revises the process for certification of interstate movers of household goods by replacing the existing public convenience and necessity test, which includes a protest and hearing rights of existing certificate holders. Imagine you want to start a business and your future competitors get to come in and put the kibosh on you starting your business. It replaces that with a system of demonstrating the fitness to provide the service. The measure allows the Oregon Department of Transportation to establish rules to delineate fitness standards and requires criminal background checks for employees. House Bill 2817 also repeals requirement that the person who performs, packs, or loads services register with ODOT and requires background checks of household good moving company employees. I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2817. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. As their names are called, those opposed no. The clerk will call the roll.
Metzger. Juan Zinnerson, Monroe,
aye.
Morissette,
aye.
Morse, Nelson,
aye.
Brzozinski,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader,
aye.
Starr,
aye.
Telfer,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Walker,
aye.
Whitsett,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Atkinson, Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
Burdick,
aye.
Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, President Courtney, excused, Atkinson, Carter, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2817, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2910, relating to professional real estate activity conducted by a real estate licensee.
Chair recognizes Senator Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Passage of House Bill 2910A will complete the transition to an all-brokered licensing by eliminating the category of sole practitioner. It is important to note that all current sole practitioners will be grandfathered in to principal broker status. This change will provide greater accountability and oversight of the professional real estate activity. It is supported by the Oregon Association of Realtors, had unanimous vote in committee.
Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2910. Those who are of the opinion the bill shall pass will answer aye. As names are called, those opposed no. The clerk will call the roll.
Monroe Henderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
President Courtney. Excused. Atkinson, Carter, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2910, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2950, Learning Code Compliance, declared emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Schrader.
Thank you, colleagues. This bill comes from your Committee on Business and Transportation with a due pass recommendation. The Building Codes Division of the Department of Consumer and Business Services is assisted by 6 boards appointed by the governor and 1 board established by the department. House Bill 2950B merges 2 of the boards, the Manufactured Structures and Parks Advisory Board and the Residential Structures Board, into the Residential and Manufactured Structures Board and establishes the Construction Industry Energy Board. The duties of the Residential and Manufactured Structures Board include advising on the administration of building codes, governing low-rise residential dwellings and manufactured structures. The focus of the Construction Industry Energy Board is to expedite the development of building code provisions addressing energy efficiency and energy conservation. The measure keeps the same number of boards but realigns the boards so that they operate more efficiently.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Now the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2950. Those who are of the opinion the bill shall pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Monroe. Monroe. Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson,
aye.
Cruz,
aye.
Metzger,
aye.
Montes Anderson, aye. President Courtney,
yes.
Excused, Atkinson, Carter, voting no, Gerard, Whitsett, 26 ayes.
House Bill 2950, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2955, Land Retention, Protection, Public Improvement Contracts.
Chair recognizes Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2955B. It came unanimously out of your Business and Transportation Committee. This is a simple bill. It requires contracting agencies to accept general obligation bonds, irrevocable letters of credit, and other forms of financial security from a contractor in lieu of retainage. These particular forms of payment were dropped when we reorganized Chapter 279 a couple of sessions ago. Good bill should pass. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2955. Those who are of the opinion the bill shall pass will answer aye as names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. Nelson.
Aye.
Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr. Telfer,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Walker,
aye.
Whitsett, Winters,
aye.
Atkinson, Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
Burdick,
aye.
Carter, Devlin,
aye.
Devlin,
aye.
Dingfelder,
aye.
Dingfelder,
aye.
Ferrioli,
aye.
George,
aye.
Gerard,
aye.
Haas, Johnson,
aye.
Cruz, Metzger,
aye.
Montes Anderson, Monroe,
aye.
President Courtney,
yes.
Excused, Atkinson, Carter, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2955, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2999, with SIU supporting system declared emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Bill 2999B came out of your Environment and Natural Resource Committee, came out on a 4-1 vote. Basically, what this bill is going to do is going to update and amend the pesticide use reporting system, also known as PERS. It's supported by the various numerous groups, including Oregonians for Food and Shelter, as well as the Northwest Coalition for Alternatives to Pesticides. Sounds like everyone got together. They're singing the same tune, and we ask that this bill be passed. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2999. Those who are of the opinion the bill shall pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, President Courtney, excused, Atkinson, Carter, voting no, George, Nelson, Whitsett, 25 ayes.
House Bill 2999, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3085, enclosure manufactured dwelling parks.
Chair recognizes Senator Burdick. Senator Ginny Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3085 comes to you from your Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. In 2007, the Legislative Assembly passed House Bill 2735, which regulated manufactured dwelling park closures and grandfathering in six jurisdictions preempted by this bill. The passage of 2007 legislation created minor conflicts in these six jurisdictions as they were prohibited from making any changes to their existing ordinances. House Bill 3085A works to correct these conflicts by allowing a short window of opportunity for these six jurisdictions to amend their local ordinances and address regulatory conflicts and make any technical adjustments necessary. To maintain a high level of protection for a manufactured dwelling park residents, this short window for amendments from date of passage until January 1, 2010 is only allowed if the amendments do not reduce the rights of the tenants. House Bill 3085 is a necessary fix and is supported by both landlord and tenant organizations. It comes to you without opposition, and I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. It most certainly did come with opposition. I voted no. So there was some opposition to this bill. And the reason there was opposition is we have a really good working group, and that is the manufacturer owners and the tenants of manufactured home dwellings. If you remember last session, there was a work group, and that work group came up with an agreement. Did we abide by that agreement? Oh, heck no. We removed the preemption of cities, and we put five cities into that bill, contrary to the agreement that the tenants and the owners came up with. Those preemptions, one in particular, the one in Wilsonville, was taken to court and found unconstitutional. This gives them a second shot at the pie. This does not part of the original agreement, and I would urge a no vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Senator Byrd, do you wish to close?
Briefly, Mr. President. I just want to express my apology to my good colleague. I got a little mixed up, and I forgot to acknowledge his no vote. So I do urge an aye vote on House Bill 3085A.
Question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 3085. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Nelson.
No.
Przonski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader.
Senator Schrader?
Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, President Courtney, excused, Atkinson, Carter, voting no, Boquist, George, Girard, Cruz, Nelson, Starr, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
House Bill 3085, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Without objection, the remaining bills on the third reading calendar will be carried over to tomorrow's calendar. So ordered. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.40 sub 3, committee referral list number 124 was distributed to the members June 1st. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and status report. So ordered. Senator Verger, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. My apologies. I should have declared a conflict of interest before the last bill was passed. I own a manufactured home in a park.
Thank you. Your conflict, potential conflict, will be noted for the record. Announcements. Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to announce that SCR 18 got its first reading today, so that means sine die is imminent. Thank you.
Thank you. Can't wait. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senate colleagues, Senate Democrats, get your lunch and be in caucus at 12:15. We have a lot to do, and we need to start right at 12:15.
Chair recognizes Senator Farioli.
Mr. President, please, thank you. Republicans should go immediately to the caucus room. We have a lot of work to cover. Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no further announcements and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 9, make that 9:45, tomorrow morning, June 3rd.